Hi, welcome to Mouse Chat for Friday, May 13th, 2011. Dun, dun, dun. I'm Lisa, and joining me today are Chris and Bob. That's it. Just the three of us, so hopefully we'll keep you entertained and give you lots of information. We don't have Steve, Lauren, or Natalie, but we'll make do. Welcome, everyone.
Hi there.
Oh, that was quick. On today's show, we'll be bringing you news from all around Disney. And then, instead of ending the show with listener questions, we're going to have listener questions for the main topic. We'll start off with announcements and go into news. So let's get rolling. So I'm going to start off with an announcement. This is just a friendly reminder that Pixie Vacations is offering exclusive packages for the Star Wars weekends that are coming up. These are available for Friday and Saturday nights. If you did need to stay longer, we'd be happy to check availability and give you a quote on that. But the packages that we're offering are for your resort, your park tickets, and your dining. And we had some sample pricing. If you were to do two nights at either the Boardwalk Inn or the Yacht Club Resort, and two nights there, and let's say you were a family, two adults, an 8-year-old and a 12-year-old, and you got two-day park tickets, and you got the plus dining, the total on that is going to be just over $1,400. If you price this out directly on Disney or just about any other site, you're going to be just over $2,100, so you're going to be saving almost $700, and that's a great savings. And you're also going to get a free ticket for each person in your party to go to a water park, a Disney water park, or you could go to Disney Quest. We also have Coronado Springs Resort. If you did those two nights, the Friday and Saturday, and again, based on availability, you had the two adults and two children ages 8 and 12 or thereabouts, and you did two-day park tickets, base tickets, and the plus dining. You're going to save over $400. You're going to be paying just over $1,200 on this special promotion, whereas booking it anywhere else, you'd be over $1,650. So those are some great deals. And I've got a little bit of news. Bob and Chris, I can let you in on this, that, you know, if you were interested in going in October and maybe doing some wine and food and maybe some food and wine, there might be another promotion coming out, but we'll have some details later. And you might even be able to stay at Boardwalk for this one as well. So if such a thing were going to happen, and I'm not saying it is, but if it were to happen, you could do a 5-night stay at Boardwalk Inn, and you could do, again, your two adults and your little 8-year-old, and your plus dining. You get a 6-day base ticket to the parks, $3,000. So this is a very good deal if it were to come out. So we'll see if we're going to post this.
Yay.
Excellent. And that is that would be, if it comes out, and we're not saying it is, an exclusive offer from Pixie.
It is. It is. You're not going to find that anywhere else. How about news?
There is one news story. Earlier this week, Disney released a report showing a slight drop in profits for its second quarter, which is the first 3 months of the year. Overall, they said profits declined 1% to $942 million for the quarter. Although revenue rose 6% to $9.1 billion compared with a year earlier. In the theme parks, revenue rose 7% to $2.6 billion, though rising costs ate away at the unit's operating profit, which fell 3% compared with a year ago. Basically, Disney's been hurt, and where you see that the slight decline in their numbers is from a disappointing performance at the box office of Mars Needs Moms, which was awful, I have to say. And then the earthquake in Japan greatly affected them because the park stayed closed for several weeks, and rising fuel costs also hurt the cruise line, you know, cut into profits there. But what this indicates is that profits are still very, very strong, and all indications are from parks and resorts that discounts will be far and few between and that they will continue to cut back, which means if more exclusive deals are coming out from Pixie, or, you know, there are offers currently offered from Pixie like Star Wars weekends, take advantage of those because you're probably going to be seeing a lot less, for, you know, in way of discounts from Disney directly. As of right now, rising fuel costs have not really cut into the theme park business too much. I mean, their bookings at the hotels are still very strong, and the park crowds are still very, very good there.
Well, let's move on and go to our listener questions. The way this is going to work, we have a handful of questions. We'll get through as many as we can. And we're going to have a winner, one of these people that have submitted a question. We're going to pick one of them, and they'll get a Pixie tote, and we'll send that out to you. But I'm trying to figure out how we should do this. I think I'll mark the clock now, and whatever question we're reading in 20 minutes will be the winner. So let's see how this goes. Okay, I have the timer set for 20 minutes, and that's going to start, and it'll go off, and whatever we're reading at the time will be the winner of the tote. So let's move right into this. Question one is from Tim, and Tim writes, "Hello. In one episode, it was mentioned that tickets are only good up to 30 days after purchasing, also that ticket prices fluctuate. When would be the best time to purchase park tickets for the September 10th trip? How much lead time, if any, or should I simply purchase them at the gate? I intend to purchase 2 9-day park hopper passes, as we would prefer the freedom to make our own dining reservations within any park on any given night. Thank you again, and keep up the fantastic work with the podcast." Well, thank you. Chris, do you want to jump in on this?
Sure. Well, first, any ticket that you buy is good indefinitely. So you could go out and buy a ticket today and say you bought a 7-day park hopper, and 10 years from now use that ticket, and the value of that ticket is what it is 10 years from now. So there's no sort of expiration on the ticket until you use it. Now, once you use it, you have to use the ticket within 14 days. Having said that, if you're going in September, Disney usually raises prices in the middle of August. So make sure you buy your tickets before they raise those prices. I would just buy them sometime this summer, because usually, you know, on a 7-day park hopper, you're looking at about a $20 increase.
Okay, how much lead time, if any?
You don't need any.
I don't think you need any. It's not going to be advantageous to buy them later. It's not advantageous to buy them now, but it could be to your disadvantage to buy them later. So buy them now.
Right. Well, and the thing is, you know, they've consistently raised prices every August, so you can pretty much bet it's going to happen.
Yep. How much do they typically raise prices?
Like I said, I think about $20 on a 7-day ticket, and it was weird because there was no, like, you know, some of the 10-day tickets were even a little higher of a raise, but there wasn't any kind of rationale to it. I think annual passes stayed pretty close to the same price.
Okay. All right. I have our next question, and that is from Sean. And he writes, "I'd like to try to plan a vacation for my family to Disney World. I see all the deals in the magazines all the time, TV and radio. The problem is everything is based on a family of four. I have a family of six, my wife and I and our four kids. Is there any way to still get a good deal with a large family, or do I just have to bite the bullet? What are your thoughts, suggestions, and advice? We don't have a lot of money to spend. However, I will do what I need to give my kids a great trip." Good for you. Okay, so this is Sean. Bob, do you want to try this one?
Well, I think you can obviously still have a good trip regardless of how many people you have in your family. And those are just sample pricings, of course, what Disney offers, because typically, you do see families of four, I would say, traveling, so that's why they quote it that way. Given the family size, though, you would have to stay in a, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but in a deluxe property. And with that many people, you'd likely want to stay in a deluxe villa, you know, which would give you more space. And it would have to be, depending on the ages of the children, a two-bedroom deluxe villa.
How many people can fit into a one-bedroom villa?
Five.
Just
and
five, yeah.
Five and a child under three in a crib or pack and play.
Well, and it depends, too, because don't some of the DVC units only hold four? Like and Wilderness some, Lodge is only four people.
Right. Some of them do only hold four. So I would say one bedrooms only hold between four and five. So you are right there, right off the bat in the upper echelon, in that you do have to book a two-bedroom villa in most cases, unless one of those children is under the age of three.
So what are the bedding arrangements in a two-bedroom?
Well, in the two bedrooms, you've got a king-size bed and you've got two double beds in the other bedroom. And then out in the living area, you have a fold-out couch that sleeps two. And then some of the units have a fold-out chair, which sleeps one, which is actually pretty comfortable. The one in Kidani is, at least. But I would say that even not looking at the DVC units, don't the Wilderness Fort Wilderness cabins hold six?
Yes.
So that's a good true. Option.
And what's the configuration yeah. there?
That's a double bed in the bedroom, two bunk beds, and then out in the living area, they've got a Murphy bed that holds two. And it doesn't sound that substantial, but we thought it was fine. Yeah, so that's a good option.
And that's considered a moderate resort property.
Right.
So and that would offer you a lot of space. And,
well, and it has a full kitchen.
Right, as would your DVC unit, you would have a full kitchen.
Right.
Neither one. So, if you wanted to, you know, cook some of your meals, at your cabin or at your villa to save money, that's certainly a way to do that. And you can use a service like Garden Grocer or there's another one similar to that. We Go Shop. Either one of those that can get your groceries delivered right to your property for you when you arrive. And
if you had to, you could go to the Disney little, I don't want to say the Disney store, but the little market area at the store that they have on property.
Mm-hmm.
The gift shop, yeah.
Oh, the one they have at Fort Wilderness?
Yeah.
There's a big shop. Well, it's not big, but it's a fairly decent little grocery. Yeah. At Fort Wilderness. Well, and what about the suites? The suites aren't a bad deal. And they hold six, right?
Yes, the suites would hold six as well. So if you can get a good deal on a suite, that's another option too. The reason I don't consider the suites, or I didn't mention the suites, is that often when Disney runs a promotion, you'll find the discounts on the cabins, and you'll find discounts, and some of the largest discounts also on the villas, but the suites tend to be excluded just because they're suites.
Right.
I will say that they did have the suites open for the kids stay free. And so like for us, that was a very good deal because all three of our kids fit into that age category, the 3 to 9. So that was a good deal for us. I mean, the room obviously wasn't discounted, but when you count the fact that you're getting three free park tickets, that's a pretty good deal.
So there are good promotions, and so using a cabin, using a villa where, you know, you'll have a lot more space and the possibility to, you know, with a full kitchen to cook some meals or eat some meals in, even if it's, you know, just breakfast before you head out to the parks, that will certainly
save you some money.
And right. Also look into when you travel. Different times of year are obviously going to be different prices. Value seasons, which will be, you know, let's say later January through up until spring break, starting in March, let's say, will be less. And sometimes in the fall will be less than, you know, peak seasons during the summer. Mm-hmm. Or
as a rule of thumb, if the kids are in school, it's probably pretty reasonable. If the kids are out of school, whether it's a holiday, spring break, or summer vacation, Disney's going to charge more.
Right.
Can I just say that I have some sympathy for him because I have three kids and, for example, we don't fit into the values. So if we did the values, we'd have to do two rooms.
But that's still an option.
That is an option. But the cabins work well for us. I personally don't want all five of us in a deluxe for a week. I think, you know, just one room, that would be difficult. So I totally sympathize. And unfortunately, Disney just sort of thinks that everyone's family is four people. So if you have more than four, you just have to get a tiny bit creative.
But at least Disney's realizing this.
They are.
With new resorts.
Exactly. I think those the new suites that are opening up are going to be incredibly popular. People have already been asking.
The family suites, sure. Yeah, the new ones, the Art of Animation suites. But are those going to fit six people?
I think they're supposed to fit six. I'm not sure.
I think so too.
Okay. I mean, the other thing is that, you know, I don't know about you, Bob, but I have found that it's incredibly hard to get those two bedrooms. So, I mean, sometimes, yeah, even if you have the money, sometimes that's just not an option unless you're planning way out, like 6 months or more. So definitely consider just getting a couple of rooms at a value. You'll be perfectly happy there.
And with two adults, you know, and the children, you will get, Disney will have the two rooms be connecting.
Yeah, that will be guaranteed.
So that will be guaranteed. So you don't have to worry about that. And two value rooms, even if you did that, would mean two bathrooms too, which would be great for a larger family.
Yes.
You wouldn't have the kitchen, but you know, you could still order, you know, breakfast items too from WeGo Shop or Garden Grocer, or you know, pick them up, you know, at a little marketplace or something, you know, and get like, you know, granola bars or Pop Tarts or something like that. And you know, if you wanted to eat in a meal, a lot of people do that. You know, to save money there. So yeah, there are options. Yeah. And keep listening and watching, because if those new Art of Animation suites, family suites, do open up and do fit six, those are going to be hugely popular, but that would be another option for you, Sean.
And don't forget those health suites at the Contemporary.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
With your therapy pig.
Yeah. You know what? I actually asked about those for somebody, and they won't book them yet. So just so you know.
And just in case you happen to have a party of party of six, where one of them is in a pack and play, you could do Riverside, Port Orleans Riverside. It'll be tight. I don't think that I would personally recommend it, but if you can, you know, grit your teeth and persevere, it's an option.
Right. And I guess it depends, too, on how much time you're going to spend in the room. If your family has never been to Disney World, you may be a family that, you know, goes park open to park close, and you're only there to sleep and shower. And so even if it's tight,
so what?
Because you're not in the room. So lots of options available to you. So don't be discouraged, and please don't hesitate to contact us and see what one of our agents can put together for you. I'm sure we can get you something.
Yeah. And I think the options will be narrowed down based on the ages of the children and budget. Cause some people say, I don't want to spend a lot of money. And they're saying, I don't want to spend $6,000, when another person says, I don't want to spend a lot, and they don't want to spend $2,000. So it's all relative.
True.
Okay. I'm going to move on to my next question. This is from Charlie. Here's a question in two parts. He writes, my wife and I both grew up going to Disney World, and there used to be an amazing piece of pizza at Epcot, which is now where they have character greetings. So that leads me to my question. Epcot used to have several attractions that were absolutely amazing, including, but not limited to, World of Motion, Horizons, and the old Journey into Imagination. So what are y'all's, and it says y'all's, favorite attractions that are no longer in WDW or Epcot? Bob, why don't I hit you again?
Okay.
I don't know. I want to jump in because I do miss, you know, the original Journey into Imagination. I'm sorry, Bob.
No problem. Just steal my thunder.
Were you going to say Journey into Imagination?
I was going to say Journey to Imagination, but I was also going to say that whole Body Wars, that whole pavilion with Body Wars and the Making of Me. Mm-hmm. That was a great pavilion, and unfortunately now is only used for
private events,
basically. Yeah. Right.
I miss Veggie Veggie Fruit Fruit.
Don't remember that.
It was that one. I'm not going to sing it, but there were the fruits and vegetables, and okay, I'm going to sing, and they go around, veggie, veggie, fruit, fruit, veggie, fruit, fruit.
But that's why it's gone, Lisa.
It was better than that, trust me.
There's only so much you can do with fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, that is
true. I picture the little theater. I hope I'm not thinking of something else.
I don't remember it, but I'm not sure that
I'm going to do a little searching. You guys go ahead. Well, but I agree completely. That whole pavilion, I enjoyed it. The touchy-feely stuff, yeah. You know, the explorations, the sensory, all kinds of things in that pavilion I liked.
At Hollywood Studios, I really miss The Hunchback of Notre Dame. They used to do a musical performance, and it was fantastic. It was to date still one of the best shows that they used to do, and I really miss that they took that out. I also miss Four for a Dollar, the pre-show at Beauty and the Beast. I'm sorry, but that show was not the same. Those guys were.
Oh, I found it. Kitchen Cabaret.
Okay, so it really was there.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah, they used to do the veggie, fruit.
I'm sure I will look it up on YouTube, you know, later. But no, I mean, so those were some of my favorites. I'm trying to think of at Magic Kingdom. I know a lot of people, not for me, but a lot of people miss the sky cars.
Oh yeah,
yeah, those.
I liked those.
I liked them because you could see all the interesting stuff from above.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not afraid of heights.
Right. Yeah. But, I mean, you could just, you know, you could check out all the sort of backstage areas that you can't really see. Maybe that's why they took it down, because it ruined the magic.
Perhaps. I mean, and then I know some of these rides are still in Disneyland, but Mr. Toad's Wild Ride is gone, and I know that was a fan favorite at the Magic Kingdom at Walt Disney World. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea is gone. Mm-hmm. Although at Disneyland, you can ride, you know, Nemo's Submarine Voyage where it was. So there's that. So there certainly are a bunch of attractions that have disappeared over time, and some have been made better, and some, unfortunately, you know, they took the attractions out and. You know, there's nothing there to replace them, which is unfortunate. You know, I really miss those. And Journey to Imagination, the original was so good. And there used to be an attraction over where what used to be in the Laugh Factory. There was something over there. There was some show like The Timekeeper or something like that. There was some, and you'd stand in this cinema, and it was a presentation in 360. Can't think of what that was, and I want to say it was voiced by Robin Williams too.
That with everything else.
Yes. Well. Oh, and speaking of other great attractions that are gone, the original Alien Encounter, that was awesome. That was a great, very very cool attraction, and now unfortunately they replaced it with Stitch's Great Escape, which will never be as good. Certainly more kid friendly, but not nearly as good. I don't recall.
Tomorrowland,
yeah, the Timekeeper, yeah, and I think there's even a poster or something on the wall there. As you go through the area, you can see a poster for it. But that was a good show. And then and before I forget, don't you think that there were some great parades and things that are now gone? I mean, I know those change over time, but I still think the parade and that they had for the 25th anniversary of the Magic Kingdom was great, and they had that great theme song from Brian McKnight called "Remember the Magic." That was really good. I don't know if it compares to "Veggie Veggie Fruit Fruit," but yeah. So okay, so wow, now I'm all nostalgic. Thank you.
Well, I did pull up on YouTube, Timekeeper, and it's the robot with Robin Williams' voice.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Mo, hey, Mo, hey, Mo.
Okay. Yeah, I see.
The alarm's going off. So we're 20 minutes in.
Uh-oh.
So we're technically still on this question, so that means Let me go over here.
Charlie.
Yeah, Charlie wins. Charlie's going to get a tote, a pixie tote, and we'll get that information from you probably next week. We'll send out an email, and thank you for submitting your question. And look at all the little memories that you're bringing up with this. And I think he did a good job with that, because I think we're done with his question, moving on to the next, but, you know, okay. Are we done? Chris, did you really jump in a whole bunch?
You know, really for me, it was just that the Skyway thing. I can't remember the name. It's been forever. I really like that.
Wasn't it just called the Skyway?
I think it was. Called the Skyway. It
didn't have any long, complicated name.
Yeah, I think it was just the Skyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. And also, Toontown. Now that it's gone, it's just, I love Toontown.
Oh, but it lives on in Disneyland, and it is so much better.
That's what everyone says.
Oh, I'll have to get out there. Yeah, it is so cool. It's really well done in Disneyland. I mean,
Do they have Pete's Garage for a bathroom?
They do not have Pete's Garage for a bathroom.
See, I love Pete the Cat.
I think they have Pete in some form there, but his garage is not a bathroom.
Okay. I don't know what. For some reason, that made me laugh.
Donna and I did look on our trip to Disneyland. We were looking for Pete's bathroom. Actually, the bathroom was quite clean there in Toontown, which that was different too. But it's just larger and much more themed there, and it's really well done. So anybody going to Disneyland, be sure to stop by Toontown and you'll see it's something to behold.
That makes me happy to hear.
Yeah, it's cool.
All right, let's see what our next question is. It's from Suzanne, and it looks like she's got several questions, so let's tackle these one at a time. First question is, why is there not more product placement for Snow White? She was the first princess. She should be one of the most celebrated princesses.
Do you know what? I think in some ways there's not a heck of a lot of, I hate to say this, appeal. Because I know that my children, that's one of the few Disney films that they're just really not into. They watched it a couple of times, but it didn't connect. They didn't connect to it the way they did Cinderella or Beauty and the Beast or the Toy Story movies or any of that. I wonder if that's why.
I think it's probably hard for kids now with the modern movies, even Tangled and Princess and the Frog, and I mean they look better. Music is, I think, better.
I was thinking maybe the music had more of a old fashioned.
The ride at Disney World is even a little scary.
It is.
For young children. I mean, I agree she should be getting more credit because it was an instrumental film for Walt Disney and I mean, really propelled them forward. That may change. I mean, where you do see a lot of the Snow White stuff in terms of product placement and stuff is with the dwarves. I mean, you see the dwarves on everything. They're on hats, they're on shirts, they're on... Mm-hmm. They're just everywhere. I think there's even a store at the Magic Kingdom near the Snow White ride called the Mine Car or the Mine. Yeah, the Seven Dwarfs Mine. Now, it will be interesting, I think, to see how much play she gets, once the Snow White attraction is closed and the new one opens, the Mine Car attraction opens with the new Fantasyland. Will they still... play up the dwarves or is she going to get more attention? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. You don't even see her much in terms of meet and greets and stuff. Snow White, really.
No, you see her in Germany every now and then, fairly regularly in Germany, I would say.
Yeah.
And at the Halloween party, she was out with all the dwarves.
Yeah.
I love
yes.
that.
Yes. That is cute. Yeah.
I wonder, too, if the animation in that film, and I know it's a classic, and I know that, historically it's just a big thing for the company. I wonder if the animation is less appealing to small children. You know, when you look at it, the characters are not as – they're just not as appealing to look at. Whereas, 20 years later when you have Snow White, she's very, true to life for a cartoon.
Well, no.
Whereas Snow White isn't.
Said, wait, you just said 20 years later when you have Snow White.
I'm sorry, Cinderella.
Cinderella.
Sorry.
Okay.
Thank you for catching that. Sorry.
Yeah,
when you have Cinderella, Cinderella or you have Aurora, for example, you know, they're very visually appealing and they look like, you know, sort of idealized real people. Whereas Snow White doesn't really look like a real person. She kind of looks like a, you know, I don't know.
And the storyline, like I said, is a bit dark.
It is dark.
So I don't know if that's a turnoff too, but so I think there's probably a number of factors. You know, but I think, you know, your point is valid, Suzanne, and I think Snow White certainly has her fans, and when she is out, there's always a line there for people that want to see her.
Well, she's not lacking
picture
fans.
Taken. Yeah, so you're correct there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we do have a few more. Her next question from Suzanne: why does Disney keep doing trial and error with things? It seems that the best things are now gone. We kind of hit that with Charlie's question. So, unless you're interpreting things differently?
No,
well,
I mean,
I wonder if she means, like, overall, like, you know, changing the dining plan.
New ticketing systems.
Yeah, even the promotions. You know, it used to be the promotions in the last few years are sort of more tangible, and this year they're kind of, you know, intangible memories sort of, you know, that promotion is just, I don't think that connected with people the way like Year of a Million Dreams does. Yeah.
Well, when you're giving away prizes every
that's
day.
That's why I said tangible.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, but no, I mean, I think, I mean, trial and error, I mean, in some ways you have to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of attractions and things, I mean, you need to, you know, like Star Tours needed to change. You know, and the reason that they waited so long is they, you know, they wanted to make Star Tours, you know, 3D for years, but the technology wasn't there. So when it finally presented itself, they could go in with new sound and new storylines and recreate all that. And, you know, it's what's sure to be an amazing ride. And that's going to be great. And, you know, new attractions and new promotions like Toy Story Mania, Mission Space, you know, will keep people coming in. But, but yeah, you do at the same time have to strike a right balance where you're not taking out too many popular attractions or attractions and things that resonate with people. You know, I imagine if they took out, you know, Space Mountain, there would be a riot.
And don't you think that guests who go frequently are more likely to notice this sort of thing than people who go like every 2 or 3 years?
Sure.
They're not going to be as – well, for one thing, they don't have that emotional attachment. I mean, one thing I notice with people is that people who go a lot, they have an emotional attachment to a lot of these things.
I have an emotional attachment, definitely.
Sure.
And you do tend to notice things more. Like, the more you go, you can say, well, gosh, this promotion isn't as good as Year of a Million Dreams.
Right.
When I was here last year or 2 years ago, man, that was great. You were getting pins and hats and lanyards and, you know, a night in the castle. And, you know, now all you get is a button. You know, you know.
I got a rock.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so but then, too, I mean, I guess as a company, I mean, I think people also have to recognize that Disney is, first and foremost, a for-profit company, and
right.
they answer to their shareholders. And, you know, so you can't be giving away constantly. I mean, I think that just sets up too many expectations. And I think that's what we're running into now with, you know, them pulling away discounts and, you know, all the deals and offers that we were seeing. Disney's taking them away and people are kind of, well, why are you doing that? You know, I was so used to that. Well, unfortunately it is trial and error. I mean, sometimes they may find that they're going to pull something away and people respond in a negative manner.
Right. I think I can argue both ways because why is there change, trial and error? Because it's a business. That's what they need to do. It is, bottom line, a business out to make money, like you're saying, Bob. But I still think since it is a service, well, largely a service-oriented business in regard to their hotel rooms and park admission, that is stuff that they could give away for free. Chris is talking about tangible things. Maybe if they would forego on the tangible things and concentrated more on, oh, you know what, here's a free Hopper upgrade or something like that, or here, we're going to pay for your room for this stay. Things like that. Even when they do gift card promotions, you know, if they give out a $100 gift card, and I'm not saying this is going to be a great promotion or anything, but when they do something like that, and then that client or that guest goes to the park and buys a $30 plush or buys a, you know, pen and autograph book for $12, the cost on that, it's not like they gave the guest a $100 bill. They really probably gave them a $20 bill.
Right.
So
right.
I can argue so many different ways. I see so many angles, but
yeah,
I mean, they think is best.
There are things that upset me too. I mean, as an annual pass holder, the offers and promotions and the discounts and things that annual pass holders used to get are not nearly as good as they used to be. And I mean, I'd like to think that, you know, annual pass holders are kind of their bread and butter, but you know, maybe not. But yeah, I mean, and you know, as so they give us a discount, but they get that money back tenfold too, because we're in the park regularly and we're spending that money, you know, time and time again. I know that, you know, every time I visit, I'm always buying something. So
whether it's a bottle of water or a burger or a turkey leg, or souvenirs, a sweatshirt, a poncho, things that you don't realize you need until you're there. You're like, oh my gosh, it's so cold.
Right.
Like, all right, and I'll just.
I've had that happen. Yeah.
Right. And, yeah. You know, you could have been very prepared because you're right there, but you just don't think of everything. And then right. You get stuck and then you buy it.
Right. So, I mean, like you said, you can certainly argue both sides.
You can.
Yeah.
We have more questions from Suzanne. Why did they take the little grocery store out of downtown Disney where Earl of Sandwich used to be? Well, Earl of Sandwich, okay.
Well, I mean, because Earl of Sandwich took that space, basically.
They needed it.
Yeah, I mean, that place is packed.
Oh, wait, I didn't finish. It says, oh, that was so convenient. Okay.
Well, it was. I mean, yeah, it was a good place, yeah.
And I would get snacks there and things like that. But, you know, you got to love Earl of Sandwich, first of all. And
yes.
I guess they got rid of it because it was more profitable to have the space for Earl of Sandwich and not so much to have the little convenience store.
And ultimately, it probably came down to a business decision and what was in the lease terms. You know, I mean, Earl of Sandwich probably wanted that entire space, and they do need that entire space because it is jammed in there. I've never found a time, maybe except. You know, when they just open, that, you know, it's not crowded in there.
We've hit it lucky a couple of times, and I'm very thankful for that, where we've gone through the line, and by the time we're actually ordering, and, you know, maybe, you know, four or five people in line, and I look behind us, and all of a sudden there's 20 people behind us. I'm like, yeah. Wow, we did this just right.
Well, it was convenient, but, I think, you know, Earl of Sandwich probably wanted that space because I think as soon as Earl of Sandwich moved in, they took that entire little grocery space out. You know, and again, it goes to constant change and you know, what is best from a business perspective.
Yep. Bottom line. Next question. It seems that the Contemporary Hotel is the only hotel that gets characters in the morning. Why is that? There are more children that would love to eat with the characters. Anyone want to? Chris, why don't you correct her on this?
Do you mean it's the one of the few character breakfasts in the morning?
That's how I'm reading it.
That's how I'm reading it too.
So there are tons of them.
Character breakfasts.
Right. I mean, well, and it depends on which one you're looking for. If you're looking for the princesses, you can go to Cinderella's Royal Table. You can go to the Storybook Princess Breakfast at Epcot in the Norway Pavilion. If you're looking for Mickey, Cape May has a breakfast buffet, right?
But they don't have Mickey.
Oh, did they not have Mickey there?
They
I'm sorry.
Minnie, Donald, Goofy.
And then if you want Piglet and that bunch, you can go to Crystal Palace.
Great breakfast over there. Excellent breakfast at Crystal Palace.
But is there any other place where you can see the big five for breakfast?
Chef Mickey is besides
Chef
place for the five Fab Five.
Okay, Fab Five. Sorry.
And if that's what she means, it's a popular spot. I mean, Chef Mickey's is also going to be very popular because of where it is. You know, I think that's an appeal for a lot of people, you know, being in this cool hotel, you know, they've got their kids with them, and here's this hotel with the monorail coming right through it,
right?
You know. So I know a lot of people book that as either, you know, their first, you know, on their day of arrival, you know, that's where they're going to eat, or, you know, the day they're leaving, that's, you know, their breakfast or dinner, you know, meal. I mean, for seeing the Fab Five, I guess that is the only place. But if you're looking for other character meals, there's certainly plenty of options. Yeah,
you can see Mickey over there for breakfast. That's going to have Mickey and Pluto, Lilo and Stitch. You've got breakfast at 1900 Park Fair. That's Mary Poppins, Alice and the Mad Hatter, Pooh and Friends. We talked about the Crystal Palace, Chef Mickey, Cinderella's Royal Table, Tusker House, Animal Kingdom, Donald and Daisy, Goofy, and Mickey. And we did Cape May. We did Akershus.
Gesundheit.
How do you say it?
No, I don't know.
I've heard Acre and I've heard Ocker. I think when I call Dizzy, they do say Ocker. So.
Well, I've heard Akershus, Akershus, Shoes. Or shoes, and Akershus, Akershus.
I just say the Norway Pavilion. I just sort of bypass it.
Okay. I think I just say Akershus.
I'm going to start saying that too. Akershus.
Akershus.
which they totally don't sound like that.
You sound like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Hey, he's available now.
There you go, yeah.
Oh, but you know what? Scratch Tusker House and Akershus, because didn't she ask about resorts? Is the only hotel. So, yeah, we have to keep it to the resorts.
Oh, sorry.
No, I did it too.
We got excited.
We did. We got carried away. So, if that was what your question was, there are character breakfasts in other resorts, and that would be the Grand Floridian. Polynesian, and Beach Club. They do have a breakfast over at the Swan as well, if you're going to consider that. And that's going to have Goofy and Pluto on Saturdays and Sundays. And let's see, what else is going to do breakfast? That's it, I think. I think we covered everything for breakfast.
You know, for the best chance at getting the availability you want, make sure that, you know, if you're booking dining reservations yourself, you do it at 180 days out from, you know, the time of booking, if you've booked that far out, or, you know, let your travel agent handle that.
Yeah, you know, for your travel agent's going to be able to give you lots of recommendations, and your agent will spend the 40 minutes on the phone with dining reservations, so you don't have to.
Right. At least.
I was going to say, if you're lucky, 40 minutes. <Yeah. laughs>
I've been having luck lately. It hasn't been too bad.
I did a bunch Monday morning, and it was over an hour.
Wow.
And it was for a week. It was for a 7-night, 8-day vacation, and that's pretty standard.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. Suzanne also asks, what is with WDW getting all politically correct? Pirates is too easygoing now, not as gritty as it used to be, and now it is all Jack Sparrowed out. Don't get me wrong, I love going to Disney, but miss the experiences I had as a child. Now that we have two girls, we want them to experience as much as they can from Disney. We are planning to go there this December with our 4-year-old and our 1-year-old, and are looking forward to their excitement.
I have to say that I don't think Disney is too PC, because if they were PC, they would go in and take care of those bears. Because you've got one bear getting all violent, talking about blood in the saddle. You've got another bear calling the one bear fat. So every time I go in there, I cringe for that animatronic bear. I have to admit, when they tell her she's fat, I'm like, oh, stop.
Oh,
I'm just impressed that you actually regularly go to the Country Bear Jamboree.
What, you don't go? I mean, sometimes it's nice to go in there and cool off.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yes, it is very cool in there, which is good. But no, I don't think they're all politically correct. I mean,
they've always been very family friendly. So,
I mean, I think they're more in tune with family friendly than they used to be. I mean, if you look at movies like Peter Pan, where they call Indians, you know, engines and red men, and you know, Snow White has like a stabbing in it, and so so there are movies that are more violent, but I mean, you know, so they've moved away a little bit from that, I think.
Well, what about Hunchback? I mean, he's an outcast.
About somebody being.
There's so much wrong with that movie. And of course, my kids were obsessed with it for like 2 months straight.
I mean, I love Jason Alexander in it.
You know, Quasimodo's heart. I just.
Yeah. And the music is good. It would make like a really good Broadway play, I think.
But I mean, as far as excitement, first of all, your kids, you know, I think are going to be totally wowed just being in the parks, because Disney, as you know, as a previous guest, is unlike you know, any place else probably in the world. And you know, kids find fun and beauty and amazement in the littlest things. You know, things that maybe you and I can't appreciate as adults, they can. There's certainly tons of character greetings that you're going to see. I mean, the characters are out all over the parks. I mean, you could spend all day not going on a single ride and just online, you know, meeting characters and meeting Flynn and Rapunzel, which, you know, block off at least an hour of your time for that. You know, so there's that. There's plenty of rides. I mean, Fantasyland is wonderful for children. I mean, Peter Pan's Flight, It's a Small World, PhilharMagic, The Carousel, Dumbo, the Cinderella's Castle, just walking through it is amazing. Bibbidi-Bobbidi Boutique for the four-year-old.
But don't you think it sort of speaks to a bigger issue, which is that a lot of times parents are trying to kind of plus one Disney when there's enough there that you don't need to do anything special, like Bibbidi-Bobbidi Boutique. I mean, it's just very nice, but there's so much going on that your kids are totally going to have a wonderful time, and there's nothing you have to do. You just have to be there and let it happen.
And that is, I would think that's very true. I mean, you can ask probably most little kids, you know, what the best part of the vacation is, and they might tell you the hotel pool.
Right.
You know?
That's true.
I mean, spending time as a family is what's really most important, and I think really if you take it easy and don't try to go and just kind of let your kids set the pace, you'll see how much enjoyment they get out of it. And I would agree. I mean, I'm just proposing Bibbidi-Bobbidi Boutique as an option, but no, it's definitely not a necessity. I mean, there's certainly plenty to see and do and enjoy and be amazed with just by itself. I mean, maybe they overdid the whole Jack Sparrow thing, and that'll be interesting to see how long that stays, you know, like that.
You know, I kind of like it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're pirated out. I mean, yeah, there are pirate things there, but they're mostly concentrated around the Prince, around the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. I mean, I think you could argue that there's way too much princess stuff there at Disney. But princess sells. I mean, but at the same time, maybe there's not enough for little boys. You know, they could be.
Oh, there's tons for little boys.
They could be playing up the whole Pixar angle with like a character breakfast with, you know, Woody and
Buzz. Yeah, that would be nice.
That would be cool, you know. I mean, I'm not saying there's. I just think that they could be more. But I don't necessarily think they're too PC, and I wouldn't be concerned. You know, the things that you notice as an adult, I don't think your kids are going to see Suzanne. So, you know, they're going to appreciate things and enjoy things on a whole another level that, you know, from you. And I think you'll get a lot of enjoyment just the way it is.
And let me throw in my little two cents. I totally understand what Bob's saying about, you know, they just, their favorite memory may be the hotel pool. Thinking back to some of my early memories, our first stay was in 76, and that was at Fort Wilderness. And some of my fondest memories were the day, I don't know if it was a whole day or half day, I don't remember, but we just hung out at Fort Wilderness, and I sat in rocking chairs, and I helped Mom with laundry, and it was just a down day, but it was so much fun, and it stands out in my head. I remember over the, you know, the music that they were playing in the gift shop was Bicycle Built for Two, and whenever I hear that song now, I you know, think back to Disney, and it's wonderful memories for me, and it has nothing to do with the parks. Of course, I have other memories from the parks, but to have memories as a child and then to go back as an adult with your children, the things that you built your memories are going to be completely different than what they're building their memories on. And neither one is better, neither one is worse. They will be fond of whatever memories they make. So don't be upset that the kids aren't going to get to see the nitty-gritty, as you put it, because they're going to see something else that they're going to think is fabulous and wonderful, and they're going to taste things, and they're going to smell things now, in a good way, that, you know, they're just going to remember, oh my gosh, I smelled oranges in this part, and they're going to create their own memories based on what Disney has to offer right now, and they'll be fabulous memories in 20 years. They're going to look back and say, I remember this. So I wouldn't worry too much about some of the things that have changed since your memories were made, and just let them make their own and make it a happy family time, because that's really what is going to give them the happy memories. It's not about how many rides you get on, how quickly you get through things, you know, how much you have to pay for a hamburger. It's family time. So just keep that in mind. But this one is from Kelly. And she writes, hi. Oh, thank you. I can't tell you how much I enjoy your podcast. It has become a fun way for me to enjoy WDW. We live about 15 minutes from Disneyland, close enough to hear the fireworks nightly, and make frequent trips. If you ever need any updates from out here, don't hesitate to email me and I'll get the information to you.
Well, cool.
Thank you. Like that.
Yeah, and we appreciate the compliment.
Yes, I'm thrilled when we get little notes like that, knowing that people are out there listening and enjoying what we do. We certainly enjoy it, as you can tell by a lot of our rants and banter, really. We have fun with this. So let me go on. They have a podcast as well, but it's about drugs and parenting. Not as much fun as yours. Thanks again for the fun chat every week. My question, do you think the Wonder will go to Hawaii to dock and tour the island? The islands basing close to Aulani in future years. We're very excited to have the Wonder here in Southern California, but unfortunately, it looks like it will leave each time school is out for the summer. With the turmoil in Mexico, it is not the most desirable vacation spot. Many people say that if they had a 3 or 4 night cruise that runs to Mexico, they would be more likely to take them during the school year instead of the 7 night. That's a good point, because over here on the East Coast, out of Port Canaveral, we have some options, not necessarily in the summer, but we do have options between 3, 4, 5, and 7 night cruises out of Port Canaveral. Options are good. And you can determine, you know, if you're willing to take your child out of school for 3 or 4 days, which you don't have to do that many because they usually have a weekend day in there. But it does make it easier, so you don't have to do that full 7 days.
I just, with as far as Mexico, I mean, a couple things. I don't know how feasible a 3 or 4 night cruise is, given the distance. I mean, I don't know what port they would go to. They'd probably go to one port, maybe have one day at sea and turn around and come back.
Probably.
That'd probably be how they would have to do it, because it seemed like we had a bunch of sea days on our 7-night cruise.
I think a lot of the fun is on the ship, though. I don't mind sea days.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would agree there. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, I mean, if they could do a port like that, I mean, if they could find a port close enough, you know, maybe where you're not going to Cabo or you know, Mazatlan or something that is further away, that might be an option for them. I mean, as far as the turmoil in Mexico, I really have to dispel that notion, because I mean, I know Steve went on the cruise. I went on the cruise on you know, at a different time than Steve, and neither one of us found any kind of violence whatsoever. I mean, the ports were incredibly safe. I mean, in terms of excursions, especially if you're taking a Disney an excursion off the ship through Disney, you know, you meet at a designated area, walk off with your leader directly to your transportation, to whatever your excursion is. So you're never, you know, separated from a group or anything. And security everywhere we went in Mexico was very high. I mean, we saw lots of police and security everywhere we went, and there was never one point in time where I ever felt unsafe or, gee, I should get back on the ship. So I kind of feel like some of that's, you know, overblown. The tourist areas, I think, are a lot more safe than areas where tourists, you know, don't go, I would say. So please don't let that discourage you from taking a trip to Mexico. Hawaii, though, you know, what do you think about the Wonder docking, basing close to Hawaii?
I think it'll happen eventually. Kind of like the cruise that, what is it, going out of New York, that's going to stop at Port Canaveral so people can go to Disney World.
Right.
Same.
No,
I don't see how that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, how would you do that? I mean, would that be like a day to enjoy the resort, the spa, and the water park type lazy river pool area that they have? I mean, wouldn't that take away from people, you know, who have paid specifically to go to Aulani?
Right.
I can see them docking closer to an island. I mean, especially given how fast the cruise to Hawaii sold out this year, I can see them definitely having more cruises out there. But the Hawaii cruise that's being offered next year has a lot of sea days, too.
You know what I could see happening in conjunction with Aulani would be having a port near Aulani where, mm-hmm, if you decided to do a land and sea, you could do that. And, you know, you'd stay at Aulani for a number of days and then jump on the ship and tour for, you know, 5 or 7 days around Hawaii, away from where you currently are.
That would be cool. Yeah,
That I can totally see.
Yeah, it's just a matter of Aulani, I think, is also kind of further away from main tourist areas too.
Attraction. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think, Lisa, I agree with you. If they do something like that in the future, it probably would be like a land and sea combination. But mm-hmm, I think Aulani's going to be very popular. It certainly looks gorgeous in everything so far. It looks like it's going to be fantastic. That would be really neat. I would do that, a land and sea to Aulani and a cruise. Mm-hmm. Heck yeah.
Get to see, you know, get a taste of both.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I like that. We'll have to write Disney a letter. Dear Mickey.
Yeah.
Chris, what do you think?
I have no opinion. Well, I don't know.
Chris doesn't like boats.
I have an opinion about everything.
I really haven't thought about this one too much, because I know very little about that side as far as cruising from there.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully that answers your question, and we're going to move on. And thank you so much again for those kind words. We appreciate that.
Yeah, that was nice. And it was also thank you, Susan, for that very nice long bunch of questions.
Yes, that helps.
Right. And everyone else, of course.
Of course. Next listener is Lisa.
Are you writing questions for yourself, Lisa?
No.
No, it's L-E-E. Lisa.
It's Lisa.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
So, we will be going to WDW in September for our first Disney vacation. We will be flying and we will not be renting a car, so we will be solely using Disney transportation and possibly a cab if we need to. I've heard that there are two Hess gas stations on Disney property, and I'm wondering the best way to get there. We will be staying at Pop Century. We're going to want to pick up some drinks, snacks, and adult beverages for our room. Is the Hess gas station our best option for this, or is something else better? Chris, go ahead and take this one.
Well, I think
so
the
easy.
I know.
Bob.
Chris didn't talk on the last one, so I'm
yeah, I know. Okay. That's because it was okay. A boat one, and I'm just learning about boats. I'm open-minded and willing to learn about boats there. Okay. Does that make you happy?
It does.
Okay, good. You'll eventually get me on one of those ships, I promise.
I'm going to.
Okay, so there are two. There's one near the boardwalk, so if you're staying at Boardwalk, you can walk there. Or you can just go to the one near Downtown Disney and just take a bus from your resort to Downtown Disney and go to that Hess station. But even better, save you some time, and for very little money, you could order from Garden Grocer or from WeGo Shop. And Garden Grocer doesn't advertise adult beverages on the website, or at least they haven't until recently. I'm not sure. I haven't checked their website in a while. But if you ask them, they'll go pick up alcohol for you. And that's a grocery delivery service. I think they charge, is it 15 for the delivery?
I thought they were talking
about Snapple. Oh, yeah, Snapple is a I'm sure they have Snapple at Garden Grocer. They have everything under the sun. It's just like shopping at your regular store. You just do it online. Do it, you know, anywhere from 1 to 2 months before you plan on arriving. And let them know your delivery date. Give them your credit card, and they'll drop your stuff off at the resort. They'll put the cold stuff in a refrigerator, and you know, it's a really good service. We use it all the time. So, yeah.
And either one of those services can do that. So it's basically your choice. I think one charges a flat fee for delivery, you know, like a $15 or $20 above whatever your order is, and the other charges a percentage based on how much you order. I think there are small minimums that you have to order, but I mean, given that you need snacks and drinks and everything, I would agree with Chris. It's the way to go, because they'll drop stuff off. You know, the concierge will, or bill services will hold the cold stuff for you, and then when you check in, you just tell them you have this stuff, and they'll send it up to your room. So it's definitely the way to go.
And there's another. Well, it depends on where you're staying, but I don't know if all resorts do this, but if you're at Bay Lake Tower, since Bay Lake Tower is rooms only, there are no public areas. There's no restaurants. There are no stores. Everything that you would need, you'd have to go to the Contemporary. You'd have to cross the little bridge and go over to the Contemporary Resort. And what they will do, if you ask them before check-in, for, you know, certain things from their little gift shop, grocery store type place, they will do the shopping for you, bring it to your room, put it away, and just charge your account for the groceries. So it's a convenience. You're still going to pay those Disney prices on your food, but that is something that they will do for you. So you can have your ice cream in the room and your milk and your cereal in the cabinet. So,
since they are staying at Pop Century, just keep in mind, Lisa, that it doesn't come standard with a refrigerator.
Right.
So if you are ordering drinks or snacks or something that needs to be refrigerated, you're going to have to make sure you request that before your arrival. And there is a charge. I think it works out to about $12 a day with tax for the refrigerator. Just need to.
I did say Pop. I'm sorry. No. I read that and it just.
Sorry,
like
I missed that one too.
But I don't think this is going to be a service that's available at the value resorts, or even the moderates, for all I know. But the deluxe, definitely a possibility.
And you can definitely use Garden Grocer wherever you're staying.
Right.
Right.
So
right.
And Garden Grocer is definitely a good way to go. Okay.
Cool.
So, thank you, Lisa. And the next one, and the last one, is from Dana. And she writes, I want to say that I love listening to your podcast every week. I love all your planning tips. After listening to your Value Resort podcast, my mom and I decided to try out Pop Century, and we are leaving next week for our WDW trip. We are so excited about Pop, but my mom has always been intrigued by the Polynesian, and we were going to stop by the resort to check it out. While we are there, is it possible to sit by their pool and relax, or is the pool gated and we won't be able to check it out? Once again, love the podcast and all of your funny banter. Thanks, Dana. Thank you. We appreciate that. I like the banter, too, especially when we gang up on Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, Bob doesn't like that so much. But
Bob loves it.
Yeah. You do. It's attention. Men love any kind of attention.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I'm just enjoying being, you know, on a podcast with two women, I must
exactly.
say.
Exactly.
All to myself.
Okay. So, no, Dana, I'm sorry. And since you sent this question out probably days before you're going on your trip, you may not get this answer in time, but no. Disney certainly frowns upon and discourages what they call pool hopping. You go to the pool that you paid for, which, you know, is at your resort.
Can I ask you a question, though? Is it pool hopping if you just check out the pool? Because I'll be honest, before I stayed at the Grand Floridian, I actually checked out the pool there, and no one ever stopped me. I just sort of hung out and sat down for a few minutes.
That's a little different than bringing a beach bag and wearing your sunglasses and swimsuit to do some sunning. And, you know,
she can go check it out.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. She can go around, check out any resort property, whether it's the pool or the lobby or the grounds. You can check out, and a lot of people make this an attraction unto itself. I know I do. I love resort hopping.
Me too.
And you can go check out the pools. You can grab a drink at the pool bar or a snack. And if you wanted to sit down to eat or drink, that'd be fine. But to actually spend a few hours, that is not a good idea.
And I don't know. It's not clear if that's what she
right. So let's
means
cover all
or
so,
not. Yeah.
Because heard it as they just wanted to go check it out. They weren't going to be like swimming there or something.
Right. See, well, is it possible
to sit by the pool and relax? Relax. Yes. If you want to sit for 10 or 20 minutes, I think that's fine. But
if you've got your floaties and your bathing suit, they're going to chase you out of there.
Leave the goggles at home.
Well, you'll see, Dana, that when you go, the pool at the Polynesian, the main pool is very, very small. So there's not a lot of chairs for people to sit. And it does get very crowded there. And when people are paying substantial rates to stay there, it kind of becomes a hot button issue. So, yeah, I mean, you're certainly welcome to check it out, sit down for a few minutes, whatnot. But, yeah, I mean, if the intent is to sunbathe and hang out for hours, no. And from what I've been reading online, and I don't know if this is true or not, they supposedly have cracked down at the Polynesian on checking key cards for people to make sure that they are staying at the resort and asking people who don't have one to leave. I know they already do that at Stormalong Bay at the Yacht and Beach Club. They won't let anybody in.
They'll give you a wristband.
Yeah, they'll give you a wristband. And I don't know if it's gotten to that point.
They had wristbands at the Poly over spring break.
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, sometimes at the Polynesian. Yeah, sometimes at the Polynesian. I mean, at the Yacht and Beach Club, it's all the time. The Polynesian might be seasonal. You might find times it's less crowded than other times. But, yeah, this is kind of a hot-button issue with a lot of people on Disney message boards. And you might get your head bitten off if you post this question. Yeah, if you bring it up. So
you'll get it bitten off either way, whether you're for it or against it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
so
true.
So yeah, it's hard to tell what you mean, and hopefully you get this question in time, this answer in time before you go. please feel free to look around the resort, enjoy, sit down for a few minutes. Also, if you know, you get a they make a great drink there. I think it's called a Lapu Lapu. It's a drink served in a pineapple. Take that and go out to their beach area. There's hammocks and stuff, and sit out there. Sit out there, and you're certainly welcome to do that. But yeah, no sunbathing or anything, and certainly no swimming in their pool.
Can I say one thing unrelated to that? Congratulations on staying at Pop. I think you're really going to like it, and you're not going to miss anything by staying there. And that sound is actually Tinkerbell agreeing with me.
I was going to say an angel has gotten her wings. You know?
Yeah. No, seriously. I mean, that's a great resort. I think you're going to be really happy.
Oh yeah, I think we all agreed during our resort review that the Pop is great.
Bob,
we
like Pop. I think you did not agree.
No, I like Pop.
Bob, you said the beds weren't long enough.
I enjoy.
That's going to wrap it up for this week's show. You can download our shows at mousechat.net and also from iTunes. Please send us your comments and questions to comments@mousechat.net. Join us again next week here on Mouse Chat.